One of the great Hasidim of the Baal HaTanya was a very holy Jew and a very clever and witty Jew who liked to do what I guess you could call Hasidic pranks, if you could say such a thing. A tzaddik by the name of Rav Shmuel Munkus. And Rav Shmuel Munkus was found one time outside the house of the Baal HaTanya. He had strapped himself to a tree in the front yard of the Baal HaTanya. So the other Hasidim were walking by and they said, Rav Shmuel, what are you doing? You tied yourself. He's hanging from the tree. So he says, it's very simple. He said, if you walk past a store, so very often, there's something outside the store indicating what that store is, what happens in this store. So you walk past a barbershop. Nowadays, you got the twirling red, white, and blue. In the olden days, you had a pair of scissors. You walk past a fellow who repairs shoes, so there's a boot or a shoe outside indicating this is a shoe store. So Shmuel said, the Baal HaTanya is a Rebbe. What does a Rebbe make, so to speak, in his shop, in his store? He makes chassidim. So I thought it would be fitting that he should have a chassid hanging outside of his store. People should know that that's what happens here. That's what a Rebbe does. A Rebbe makes chassidim. So I'm here as a billboard for the Baal HaTanya. The truth is, every Jew, in a certain way, is supposed to be a billboard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. How every one of us can really be an ambassador for Elokus, to declare Hashem's presence in the world. That people should look at us, and we should be literally a billboard declaring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. Avram Avinu gets the call in this week's parsha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladecha me'beis avicha el ha'aretz asher eka. It says to Avram, which the Sfasema says, that God was talking to the world. The right channel to actually hear it. So Hashem calls to the world, and Avram responds, I want you to leave your comfort zone. I want you to go to the land that I will show you. As Rashi explains, Avram literally has no clue where he's going. I'll give you prominence. I'll make you into a great family and a great name. And you'll be a source of blessing for the whole world over. Okay. Pasuk Dalit in the third line. Avram packs his bags and he starts traveling. And he's 75 years old at the time that he leaves Haran. Avram takes his wife, Avram takes his nephew, and they take all of their possessions, and they're traveling to Eretz Canaan. And as they start to arrive, Pasuk Zayin, Vayira Hashem el Avram, God appears to Avram, Vayomer lezaracha etenas haaretz hazos, good news, Avram, this is going to be your homeland, Vayiven sham mizbeach laHashem hanira elav. And Avram builds a mizbeach in God's honor. And Avram travels on and he pitches his wife's tent and his own tent and he builds a mizbeach to Hashem and he calls out in the name of Hashem. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. And he continues to travel, says the Pasuk, towards the south. What does it mean, Vayikra b'shem Hashem? What does it mean that Avram called out in the name of God? So if you look at Unkelis in the second source, Unkelis says, Vitzoli b'shma da Hashem. Tzoli, like we say in Kaddish, Tiskabel tzoloson. Tzoli is a lashon of tefillah. So what does it mean Avram called in the name of God? Unkelis says it means that he davened in the name of Hashem. Ibn Ezra explains in source number 3, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, maybe it means tefillah. O kriyas b'nei adam la'avod Hashem. That Avram called out to other people, inviting them to join him in the service of Hashem. I saw it's very interesting. The Rokeach writes that after Avram built his Mizbeach, he, so to speak, called out to anyone, anyone wants to bring a karban, I'm your man. Bring me your karban, I know how to do it, I'll take care of it for you. Anyone wants to bring an offering to God, I'm the right address. But the Ramban, similar to Ibn Ezra, but building on Ibn Ezra, says something very beautiful. The Ramban, the Holy Ramban, writes in source number 4, Vanachon, Shayakore Bekol Gadol Sham Lifnei Mizbeach as Shem Hashem. Avram was standing in front of his Mizbeach, calling out in the name of Hashem. What was he doing? It's sort of what Unkelis said, it's sort of a tefillah, it's sort of an invitation to others to join him. But basically, Avram was screaming to the world, there's a God in the world. Modia Oso V'Elokuso Libnei Atam. Avram wanted to get the message out that there's such a thing as God. Kiba or kastim, because in his homeland where he was thrown into a furnace for believing in God, hayim alamdim v'lo avu shamoa. He tried to teach them, Velo avu. Avu means they didn't want. They didn't want. They weren't interested. Va'ata kishaba ba'aretz azos. Shehuftach ba v'avarcha mevarachecha. But now that Avram came to this new land where he was promised that he's going to be successful, hayalamud lalamidu lafarsim alukus. So Avram made it his mission to try again. Maybe here people will be interested in God. This is how Avram began to teach and to preach the name of Hashem. V'chein amar akosuv b'Yitzchak. And of course that legacy was continued by Yitzchak Avinu. Kasher halach el nachal grar v'huftach al tira ki itcha anochi. When Yitzchak travels also and Hashem promises him, I'm going to be with you, you're going to be matzliach. What does it mean for Yitzchak to be successful? To spread the good word, to let people know. Shebana mizbeach v'yikra b'shem Hashem. Yitzchak also calls out in the name of Hashem. Again, kiva b'makom chadash, he came to a new place. Asher lo shamu es shim'o, they had not heard the word yet, they don't know about God. V'lo ra'u es kvodo, it was a place that people had yet to recognize the honor of Hashem. V'higid kvodo b'goyim ahem. So Yitzchak made it his mission, much like his father Avraham, to again, to teach and to preach. To let people know that there is such a thing as a creator of the universe, there is a God in this world. Says the Ramban, what about Yaakov? We don't find psukim of Yaakov preaching in the name of Hashem. We don't find Yaakov vayikra b'shem Hashem. We find it by Avram. We find it by Yitzchak. Surprisingly, it's missing by Yaakov. Why is it missing by Yaakov? So remember how Shmuel Minkus was a billboard for the Baal HaTanya? Says the Ramban, V'lo nemar b'Yaakov kein, mipnei shaholid banim rabim kulam ovdei Hashem. You know why Yaakov never needed to say a word? You know why Yaakov didn't need to go out to the world like his father and grandfather and teach the world about Hashem? Because anyone who saw Beis Yaakov, when you saw Yaakov's family, says the Ramban, holy banim rabim, a big family of serious ovdei Hashem. V'haisalo kehila gadola, it was all shul, you know? It's probably bigger than, Yaakov's family is bigger than some of the little shtiblach in Brooklyn, probably. V'haisalo kehila gadola nikres adas Yisrael. Right? That was the name of Yaakov's congregation, Adas Yisrael, tax, you know, tax exempt or whatever. They saw the family of Yaakov Avinu. You didn't need to ask them about God. You saw God all over them. You saw the way they lived their lives. It wasn't just an individual like an Avram or a Yitzchak who had to go out and had to recruit people for Hashem. You just looked at Yaakov's family and Nisfar Sama Ha'emuna Bahem. They were just declaring Amuna in the world. V'noda L'chol Am. And anyone who encountered them believed and saw it was a beautiful declaration of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. And that's really the goal of every Jew. The goal of every Jew is to ask ourselves, how can I become a billboard for a Kodesh Baruch Hu? It's strange. You drive on the highway these days, you see all sorts of billboards. Even YU's got a nice billboard on Route 4 now, going across the George Washington Bridge, right? But you also see, you know, the Atheist Society saying, you know, things against God. And then you see the Christians saying, you know, dial this number and find out what happens in the next world. So everyone's got their billboards, everyone's got their bumper stickers, everyone's got their car magnets. Our job as Jews is not only to hang up a flyer, Anima Amin B'Emunah Shleima, I believe in God. Our job is that when we walk down the street, and when people look at us and our families, that people see Elokus, they see godliness. You become an ambassador for God in this world. Not just to be someone who learns Torah, right, and lives Torah in a private sense, but someone whose whole being is Torah. Chazal tell us that a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, a person whose life is informed by Torah, actually becomes a walking sefer Torah. A famous gemara in Maseches Makos in source number 5. Amar Rava. Rava once commented, Kama tipshoi shar inchi. How tipesh, how foolish are most people? What does it mean, how foolish are most people? Dekaime mikamei sefer Torah. That the second the Torah comes out of the ark, right, everyone jumps up. Even before it comes out, the second guy does psicha, it opens the ark. The aron is open, people stand up. V'lokaimi mikamei gavra rava. But those same people are not as quick to stand up for a person who's the living embodiment of Torah. Well, Chazal are telling us that a person whose life is informed by Torah, a person whose every move is a declaration of their belief in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is greater in a certain sense than the Torah that sits in the Aron. And the proof is, says the Gemara, In the Sefer Torah, Ksiv Arbaim, why is the Gemara in Maseches Makos? Because in the Torah it says that a sinner gets 40 lashes, and the rabbis come along and they reinterpret it to say up to 40. It means 39 lashes. So look how the power of the Chachamim informs the Torah, even more than the Torah informs the Chachamim, that they become the living embodiment of a Sefer Torah. One time the Netziv, the Holy Netziv, from Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, and the Netziv one time was taking the Sefer Torah out of the Aron, and he was bringing the Torah to the Bima, and as he was making his way to the Bima, he tripped over a bench and fell to the floor. The Torah went flying out of his hands, Rahman al-Tzlan, the Torah landed on the floor. So the Tziv is sprawled out on the floor, the great Rosh Hashiva Volozhin is lying on the floor, and the Sefer Torah is lying on the floor. Rav Itzel of Volozhin, or the son of Rav Chaim of Volozhin, quickly jumped up. He jumped up, he must have been standing right there. He jumped up on the Bima. First pick up the Netziv, and only afterwards pick up the Sefer Torah. Have to take care of the living Sefer Torah first. The Netziv is greater than a Sefer Torah. And again, it's obviously a very lofty madrega to say, I'm going to be a Sefer Torah, I'm going to be better than the Torah. Halavai should even know what's in the Torah. Halavai should keep some of the things that are in the Torah. But over the course of a lifetime, the avodah of a Jew is not just to be an Avram or a Yitzhak who declares Hashem in the world, but to be like Yaakov and his family, who again are that living embodiment of everything the Torah represents. It's a lofty level, but it's something to work on over the course of a lifetime. Think of yourself as the Sefer Torah that has maybe a couple of missing letters that needs to be touched up. It's also a chashuv thing. And over the course of the lifetime, that's what we're doing. We're trying to touch up the letters of our lives and to turn ourselves into a Sefer Torah. Let's learn a piece from the Holy Rebbe of Radomsk, the Tiferes Shlomo. It's in Parshas B'Shalach. He connects it to the end of B'Shalach, how we're supposed to record the fight against Amalek. But we'll leave the Amalek piece out of it for now. And let's look at the pasuk that he quotes from Bereishis. The pasuk, of course, in Bereishis says, Hanira l'rameis b'zeh, zeh sefer toldas adam. In Parshas Bereishis, as it lists the long list of the legacy of Adam and his descendants and how long everyone lived and who fathered who, zeh sefer toldas adam. He explains that Tiferes Shlomo, the holy coin from Radomsk, Ratzel Lomar, ki toldos ha'adam hu kmo sefer. The experiences of your life are like a book. Now you might think, who's writing my book? Is someone going to one day write my biography? Well, in Shemayim, it's being recorded right now. Your experiences, your life, matters to Hashem. Hashem is writing down every detail of your life. It's recorded in Shemayim. V'zeu ha-sefer divrei ha-yamim, asher nikraim lefnei melech malchei ha-melechim ha-kodesh baruch hu. When we talk about the books being open on Rosh Hashanah, those books are you. It's us. Those books are read before the King of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Sha'odim tzarech la'ayin b'chol derachav. And a person needs to think. The same way an author sometimes writes a chapter and then says, I need to rewrite that chapter. I need to find a better way to express myself. Right? Some of the scenes don't really wrap up and they're kind of left hanging in my novel. I need to circle back and make sure I tie up all the loose ends. So to a person over the course of one's lifetime is touching up one's book, is editing one's book. That kol yimei chayev, told us yimei chayev, your whole life story, leval yimtza behem shum shemetz psul, to make sure that there are no typos in your book, to make sure that none of the passages accidentally got deleted when you were typing your book. Shiyalu kulam lenachon b'tshuva u'maisim tova. And the way that we edit our book, of course, is through tshuva. That's one of the ways we edit the past. Maisim Tovim is how we continue to write our future. And says the Tiferes Shlomo, amazing idea. Chazal tell us, he says, this is the secret of a Chazal tell us beremez. Hamishah sefer she'eno muga besoch beso. A person who keeps an unedited book in his home. You keep a sefer Torah in your house that's not checked, which might have mistakes in it. That's very dangerous. Someone could take out the sefer Torah. Imagine, God forbid. I was talking this week to my students about the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which has a big dalid. And in Parshas Kisisa it says, don't bow down to El Acher with a big resh. Imagine, God forbid, you have a Sefer Torah. And by accident, the Sofer wrote, Shema Yisrael Elokeinu Hashem Acher. It's a terrible mistake, instead of Hashem Echad. So you have to make sure that the svarim that you keep in your home are checked. The Chafetz Chaim, before he would sell his editions of the Mishnah Berurah, he would sit there painstakingly checking it to make sure none of the copies came out wrong. There's no errors. So Chazal say it's very dangerous to keep a book with mistakes in your home. And especially if we're talking about a sefer, meaning a sefer Torah. So a sefer, she'eino muga, a sefer that has not been edited and corrected and checked, to keep such a sefer in your house is a violation of what Eov says, al tashkein ba'olecha avla. Don't keep something sinful in your home, in your oel, in your house. So explains the Tiferet Shlomo, what does it mean to have a sefer in your house that's not checked? It means to live your life without checking the story that you're writing, without being proud of the chapters that you keep adding to your book. Sefer she'ena muga hu ha'odem ba'atzmo. An unchecked sefer is the person himself. And that's what it means. Hamashah sefer she'ena muga. She'a'odem eina magia as atzmo. If you're not editing your life, then God forbid, through tshuva, he says, then you're in violation of Baal Tashkein Bo'alecha Avla. Don't keep something improper in your home. And the thing that's improper in your home is you, God forbid. And therefore, says the Pasuk, V'agisa Bo Yomim V'layla, which traditionally is understood to mean contemplate a day and night, think about ideas of Torah, try to think about meaningful things in your life, both in the day and at the night. But V'agisa is also a lashon of what? Of Magia, to correct. Correct it day and night. Correct your days, correct your night. Touch up your life. Shetzarach la'agia ba'atzmo tamid, to fix up the shortcomings of one's life. And he concludes by saying, Ashrei, praiseworthy is the person whose old age is not a contradiction to his youth, and his youth is not a contradiction to his old age, but rather that his whole life should be a perfect sefer Torah. Again, it happens over the course of a lifetime. It's obviously a lofty madrega. But as Jews, we have to remind ourselves of who we are. We have to know the potential that lies within us. We have to understand the expectation HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. I mentioned last week how when Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich came to the United States of America, came to New York City in 1928, and how Mayor Jimmy Walker was just blown away by meeting him. To see this Rosh Yeshiva from Kamenitz, a Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisker, to see such a person and to just be so captivated by him. He said, I see this person as a godly man. It's not only for big Rosh Yeshiva who come to New York on some fundraising expedition. It's true for every Jew who walks down the street. The world has to be able to look at how a Jew carries himself or herself down the street and says there's something big that's happening here. There's something significant. There's something godly that I'm in the presence of. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, you're worried, Avram, you're not going to have a child, you're not going to have a big family. Hashem says, I promise you, you're going to have a very big family. Source number 7. Vayotze oso achutza, Hashem takes Avram outside, and he tells him, Habet na shamayma, look to the heavens, usfar hakochavim, and try to count the stars. Im tuchal lisporo some, if you're able to. Vayomer lo, ko yihye zarecha. So shall your children be. Your children will be like the stars. We're certainly not as numerous as the stars. How many stars are there in the galaxy? Trillions? A big number, very big number. Right? The Jewish people are the smallest of peoples. So what does it mean we're going to be like the star? Explain the Baal Shem Tov in source number 8. B'shem Baal Shem Tov, HaKadosh Baal Shem Tov explained, what's our relationship with a star? So you walk outside, usually the sky, you know, the skyline is flooded with light from people's homes and from buildings, so it's hard to see the stars. But if you go to a place where you can actually see the stars, right, you see this little glimmer of light at some great distance. But says the Baal Shem Tov, what would happen if we were to travel towards that star? What if we actually got a little bit closer to the star? We'd recognize that the star is not at all a tiny glimmer of light. The star is this massive ball of gas. It's huge. That tiny little star from a distance is actually huge when you get close to it. So explain the Baal Shem Tov. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Koya Zarecha. The Jewish people are like the stars. People who don't understand us often think we're the smallest, we're the most insignificant. We're despised on the world stage. But when you get to know who a Jew really is, and you see the potential that lies in the Jew, and you see the godliness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has implanted in us, that added additional level of godliness that Hashem put in us above all of the rest of humanity, who's also created B'Tzalem Elohim, when you see that extra little shine that a Jew has, says the Baal Shem Tov, it's bolded. from down below, from a distance, a star looks like a tiny little glimmer of light. Ulamala b'shamayim, but from a heavenly perspective, him gedol l'maod, it's huge. Kain b'nei Yisrael nirim katanim l'mata b'olam hazeh. From this world, sometimes in this world, the Jewish people look so small, so insignificant. Sometimes, unfortunately, we make ourselves so small and so petty. But in the olam ha'elyon, Hashem sees our potential. Him gedolim l'maod. When we recognize that inside of ourselves is a piece of the Creator, a divine spark, well, a piece of the Kadosh Baruch Hu is access to the whole thing. It gives us infinite abilities and infinite powers. So yes, over the course of a lifetime, I try to become a Sefer Torah. But if that's out of reach, at least I want to be an ambassador to Hashem. I want to shine that Elokus into the world. One time, Rosh Shlomo Freifeld was making a siyum for some Balei Tshuva. It was the first time they were making a siyum in their life. Very excited. Rabbi Freifeld was invited to speak, and he got up and he quoted Winston Churchill. He said, Winston Churchill declared to the people of England during the Blitzkrieg, he encouraged them and he reminded them and he warned them, he said, wherever you are, remember one thing. You are England. Remember, you represent England. You are England. Wherever you are, whatever happens, you are England. Rabbi Freifeld turned to those B'nai Torah, who were just beginning their journey, a return to Yiddishkeit, learning Torah seriously for the first time. And he said to them, remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, you are Yiddishkeit. You are the ambassador. Hashem's ambassador is you, whether you like it or not. And therefore, it's our job to try to shine in the world, not just to learn Torah, not just to do mitzvos, but to become Torah, and to be that little shtick of Elokus, that little piece of godliness that's wandering this world. And that's why Yaakov didn't have to call out in the name of Hashem. Says the Ramban, you just saw Yaakov Avinu's family and you saw, this is a godly family. And that's who we are, B'nai Yaakov, B'nai Yisrael. That's our legacy. That's where we come from. Where did Yaakov's children learn it from? Of course, they learned it from their father. Ramban is emphasizing that Yaakov's family, his children, were such a billboard for God in the world. But of course, they learned it just by looking at their father. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was once asked, who's your Rebbe? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, Rav Zundel of Salant. So the Talmidim said, how much time did you spend learning with Rav Zundel of Salant? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, not at all. I never learned once with Rav Zundel of Salant. So they said, so why do you call him your Rebbe? And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said in Yiddish, I saw him one time. Once I saw him. If you would have seen Rav Zundel of Salant, he would have been your Rebbe also. Just watching him, observing him. Seeing the way he walked was a lesson in what it means to be a godly person. Yaakov Avinu's children saw their father and they knew exactly what they needed to do. He didn't need to preach and he didn't need to teach. He didn't need to hand out pamphlets. He just needed to live his life in a godly way. And it was obvious to all around him what it means to live in the way that Hashem wants a person to live. There's a puzzling Gemara in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, very strange Gemara, extremely strange Gemara. Source number 9, Amr of Acha, Amr of Elazar, Megillah Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. Minayin Shekaru HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYaakov El. From where do we know that Hashem called Yaakov Aleph Lamed, Kel? Well, he certainly didn't call Yaakov God, so I guess we'll translate it as godly. From where do we know that Hashem called Yaakov godly? Says the Gemara, Shenemar, Vayikra lo kel, Elokei Yisrael. Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov is traveling, he builds himself a mizbeach, and the Pasuk says, Vayikra lo kel, Elokei Yisrael. So I would have read the Pasuk, Vayikralo, he called out to the Mizbeach, Kel Elokei Yisrael, which sounds like it contradicts the Ramban we started with. It sounds like Yaakov's calling out to God. But the Gemara in Megillah has a different interpretation. The Gemara says, the Isal Kedaitach leMizbeach Karle Yaakov Kel. If you think that Yaakov is declaring the name of God in the presence of the altar, then Vayikralo Yaakov Mibayle. It should have said, and Yaakov called. It doesn't say that. So how do you read the Pasuk, says the Gemara in Megillah? Elavayikra lo li Yaakov Kel. Someone was calling Yaakov Kel. Someone was calling Yaakov godly. Umi karu Kel, says the Gemara. And who was the one calling Yaakov? A godly being, a godly human being. Elokei Yisrael. The God of the Jewish people was calling Yaakov Avinu Kel. Yaakov was so impressive. He was so law-spiritual. He was so connected to Hashem in all that he did that Hashem himself saw his own reflection in Yaakov Avinu. That Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people, looks at Yaakov Avinu and says, you're God. I'm calling you Kel, Aleph Lamed. I wasn't even sure I'm putting together the source sheet if I should like change it to Kel or leave it as El. Is it God? Is it Godly? Capital G, lowercase g. But what this Gemara is telling us, it's not enough for us to just be God's people, but our vote in this world is to be godly people. To be godly people. To be radiating that godliness. That people look at us and they see the presence of Hashem. Yaakov was radiating that, and his children saw it, and the world saw it. And Yaakov didn't need to do anything more. Moshe Rabbeinu also had a shine. He was wearing a mask half of his life because he was glowing so much. The Pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu in describing the Moshe that we know, the great leader of Klal Yisrael, he's called a humble person. He's called an Eved Hashem. He's also called in the Torah an Ish Elokim. Ha'ish Elokim. Ish Ha'elokim, a godly man. Says the Yalkut Shimoni in source number 10. Davar Acher, Ish Ha'elokim. Why was Moshe called an Ish Elokim? Im Ish Lam Elokim. If he's human, then he's not divine. V'im Elokim, and if he's godly, Lama Ish, then he's not a person. Seems like a contradiction. Human beings are basar v'dam. Elokim, even if you understand Elokim as angelic, right? It's a contradiction to flesh and blood. Says the Medrash, a cryptic answer. Mimachitzaso ulamala haya elokim, umechitzaso lamata ish. Right? The upper machsis of him, the upper half of him was elokim. From the waist up, he was elokim. And from the waist down, he was an ish. What does that mean? The upper half of him was elokim, the lower half of him was ish. But again, what Chazal are telling us is that Moshe Rabbeinu was a godly person. There was a part of him that just wasn't human. It wasn't regular. So much so that when Moshe comes to the Sneh, of course, he has a godly encounter and he looks away. But I'll tell you a different way to read the scene. In the Yoshua Divrei Emes al Torah, he writes that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's standing at the Sneh, and he covers his face. You know why he's covering his face? Vayaster Moshe, Panav in source number 11, Moshe conceals his face. Moshe Rabbeinu ne'alatz lahastir es hapnimiyas shalo. Moshe concealed his panav, means he concealed his inner essence. Moshe had to contain his radiance. You know why? Ki yarei mehabit el Elokim. The pashup shot of the pasuk is that when Moshe was standing by the burning bush and he saw that godly image, Moshe concealed his face because he was scared to look at something that was so holy. Something that was, again, radiating that divine presence. But says the Yosher Divrei Emes, a different pshat. Vayaster Moshe panav, Moshe had to hide his own radiance. Ki yarei mehabit el Elokim. Look what he writes here. It's shocking. Ki upachad sheabitu alav. He was afraid that they would look at him. V'yachshavu kiviyachol shehu Elokim. Moshe was scared that people would think this is not a regular person. And the answer is right. It's not a regular person, because Jews are not regular people. Jews are meant to be like those stars that illuminate the darkness. Jews are supposed to be those billboards for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. When Rav Shmuel Munkus tied himself to that tree on the Baal HaTanya's front yard, he wasn't just being silly. He was saying, when you walk into this house and you walk out of this house, you become a chassid. Having contact with the Baal HaTanya, you come out, you become a chassid. So I'm going to be here, I'm going to wrap myself to this tree as a billboard for the Baal HaTanya. That's what happens here. A barber gives haircuts. A tailor fixes your clothing. This man in this house makes chassidim. That's what he makes. He makes people into Jews, real Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parshas Vayakel, gathers Klal Yisrael together. Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. Vayomer aleihem eila dvar mesher tziva Hashem la'asos osam. And Moshe commands b'nei Yisrael with the building of the Mishkan. And you fast forward about 19 psukim later, Vayetzu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe. And when the message was over and Moshe finished his speech, the Jewish people left milifnei Moshe, from the presence of Moshe. asks of Eliel Opian in the final source, why do you need to tell me they left Moshe? You already told me they're standing with Moshe. Moshe's been talking the whole time. You know they're with Moshe. It could just say that they left. Or maybe don't even say anything. Right? Just go to the next scene. I have to mention Moshe gathers them and then they left Milifnei Moshe, from the presence of Moshe. Thank you very much. We know that they're in the presence of Moshe. Explains Rav Eliel Opian, the great Mashkiach, in the final source, in the Lev Eliyahu and Parshas Vayakel. He asks the question in the first paragraph and he answers in the second paragraph. Ulefarish davar zeh, nakdim b'pasuk echad. Let's learn a pasuk in Mishlei. Im laleitzim hu yalitz v'la anavim yitein chein. With the scoffers, one will scoff, but with the humble ones, one will be endowed with chein, with grace, like we spoke about last week. Explains Rashi, shim adam nimshach achar aleitzim. A person is easily influenced by his surroundings. If you hang out with people who don't take life seriously, we're always cracking jokes. If you hang out with people who are cynical and look down on anyone who's trying to live a meaningful, purposeful life, so levasof gam hu yaleitziman, you'll become one of the scoffers. If that's who you associate with, that will become who you are. Ve'im la'anovim yischaber, but explains Rashi, if you attach yourself to humble people, sincere people, honest people, motivated, inspired people, even if you're just hanging out with them casually, sof sheyitnu ma'isav chein be'enei habrios, then just like they're beloved in the eyes of people, you'll become, by extension, it'll rub off on you. You'll become someone who is seen favorably in the eyes of the world. V'zeu ma'shenem arkan, and that's what we find here by Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yetu kol adas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe. The people left the presence of Moshe. Of course, they had internalized Moshe's message, but more than that, just being in Moshe's presence has a hashpa. He's a godly man. If your father is Yaakov Avinu, you better believe that the children of Yaakov are going to be a billboard of godliness in the world. Klomar sheikiru aleihem sheyotzu milifnei Moshe. That they looked themselves in the mirror and they could see that they had changed. They looked different to themselves. They saw, wow, we were just in the presence of Moshe. Because when a person comes out of a particular place, right? You bump into someone on the street, you don't necessarily know where they're coming from. You don't know where they, if you saw them walk out of a particular house, a particular building, you know where they're coming from. But you meet someone on the derech, you don't know where they've been. But if you see someone stumbling down the street like a drunken bum, it's not too hard to figure out where he's coming from. He's coming from the bar. Simen muvaku sheyotze mebeis marzeach. He's coming from the tavern. The way that he's walking is a clear indication where he's been. Shosle yayin v'nishtaker. He's a drunk. Says Rav Eliel Opian, obviously, mida tova maruba. All the more so in a positive sense. Vayetu kol adas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe. When the Jewish people walked away from the presence, from the face of Moshe that the Yoshua Devi Emes said, Moshe was hiding, concealing from us. So we shouldn't confuse him for God the way the angels confused Adam Arishon for a God. Even if he didn't learn with Moshe, he just saw Moshe. He just spent time in his presence. Elarak amdu lifnei Moshe. You just saw the greatness. And you saw what an exalted human being looks like. Kvar kiblu yiras Hashem bekirbam. You walked out a different person. I always tell people, in particular my students in YU, and they're going through different struggles in Emunah, different questions of faith and different struggles, human struggles, normal things, ups and downs of life. I always say, you need to spend more time in the presence of real tzaddikim. You don't have enough big people in your life. You're not coming in contact with people who are a tefach off the ground, so to speak. When you see those people and answer so many of our questions in life, when you see what an exalted Jew whose life is informed and defined by Torah is, so many of the confusion, the sveikos, the darkness of this world, it disappears when those stars start to shine. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, when you get closer to those stars, you see they're so much bigger than I thought they actually were. You become a different person. And therefore, la'anavim yitein chein kalvachomer ben benosho kalvachomer. If you hang out with a stam, humble person, it has a hashpa on you. Well, how about when you spend time with what? The one who's called Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble of all, Moshe Rabbeinu. Just seeing Moshe Rabbeinu when they walked out of that place, every psia, every pnia, every step and every turn that they made was influenced and was informed by the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Brisker Rav was once visited in Yerushalayim. He was visited by an American gentleman, came to visit the Brisker Rav. And they were sitting together and they were talking, and he was talking to him in Torah, and he was asking for his blessing. And the Brisker Rav said to him, "Tell me, what do you do? What's your profession?" So the fellow says, I'm a lawyer. He's trying to explain to the Brisker Rav, "I'm a lawyer." So the Brisker Rav nods, And they go back to the conversation. And a little bit later, the Brisker Rav says, so tell me, what do you do? So he says, like, what type of law? Like, what department do I work in my firm? Am I a partner? Like, what are you asking? He starts to explain, I'm a lawyer, you know, corporate law in New York City. He's trying to explain. Brisker Rav says, I see. And the conversation continues. And then the Brisker Rav says again, but what do you do? So the fellow says, Rebbe, I'm not really sure what you're asking. I'm trying to answer the question. I really don't know what you're asking. So the Brisker Rav had a small Tanakh on his desk. And he flipped open the Tanakh to Sefer Yonah. And he pointed to the pasuk where Yonah's on the boat, and there's this terrible storm, and they draw straws, and Yonah's the guilty party, and they're about to throw him overboard, and they're trying to figure out, who is this guy? How did he end up on our boat? And they say to him, the words of the pasuk, Ma malachtecha. What's your malacha? What's your profession? What do you do? What defines your life? I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I'm a tailor, I'm a barber, I'm an artist, I'm a teacher. How does Yonah respond? Brisker Rav pointed to the pasuk. How does Yonah respond to Ma malachtecha? I'm a fisherman. What does he say? Ivri anochi ves Hashem Elokei Hashamayim ani yarei. You want to know what I do professionally? I'm a professional Jew. That's what I do in the world. How do I make a living? How do I pay my bills? We could talk. That's not what I'm asking. The Brisker Rav said, Ma malachtecha, I'm asking you, what's the center of your life? Right? Are you more interested in, again, having, you know, your law firm's name in the lights, or having a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name as kind of the sign of the billboard outside of your office? What defines your life? Rav Yisachar Frand once shared this story before a large audience in Baltimore, and he said he got a call a week later. He said there was a businessman who heard the story. He was so moved by the story that he decided to have himself a paperweight made with written on it, Ivri Anochi. And he said, every a big business phone call, he puts that paperweight in front of him, and he reminds himself how big of a deal is on the front of him. But Ma Malachtecha, how does a Jew answer the question, what do I do? I'm a Shliach of Hashem. I'm a billboard of Elokus, like Rosh Shmuel Munk is tied to that tree, like Yaakov Avinu, like Yaakov's family, like Moshe Rabbeinu. I try to become a living, walking Sefer Torah. And then at the end of my life, as Rapam Zatzal once explained, at the end of one's life, when a person is placed into the ground, right, in Eretz Yisrael they bury without an aron, right, but certainly even for the Levaya, a person is placed initially in an aron. Right? That aron is supposed to be just like this aron. It's supposed to be an aron kodesh. That your life is like a Sefer Torah. Zes Sefer told us Adam, like we learned from the Radamsker. And that the aron that I'm placed in, the coffin at the end of one's life, is mamish an aron kodesh. Because my whole life was one big declaration of Ivri Anochi, that I'm a Jew, first and foremost, and my mission is to declare Hashem's name in the world. So Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us. We should be those types of Jews. We should be, again, we are Bnei Yaakov. Just like Yaakov's family was able to declare Hashem in everything that they did, every place that they went, without saying a word. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us to recognize that potential inside of ourselves, to be big like the stars, to get to know ourselves in a deep way, to keep touching up that Sefer Torah, V'agisa bo yom v'alayla, like we learned from Tiferes Shlomo, to constantly edit our chapters, to make them a little bit better, a little bit more refined, a little bit more pure, a little bit more holy. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be known in the world, and it'll be a good thing for the entire universe. Good Shabbos. Again, next week there will not be a shir, but looking forward to continuing in 2 weeks.